Welcome to Parshas HaShavua. This week is Parshas Emor. This week I didn't make a special recording for the podcast because I gave a full hour shiur on the Parsha and decided to post it instead as this week's podcast. Hope you enjoy. It's longer than normal, but it's about the mitzvah of Sfira Sa'omer, which is very relevant during this time particularly. All the best to everyone. Have a good week and a good Shabbos. Okay. Morning, everyone. Sorry, apologies for Dina. She had to take Bailey to an appointment, so I'm standing in. Sorry about that.
It's okay. Welcome to all the babies.
could be yours. So what I'm going to do is I'm not doing the chumash that you normally do. I'm going to do a chumash from the parsha. We'll look at some of the psukim in the parsha. Okay, so this week's parsha is Parshas Emor. It's got a lot of different halachas and everything. But sorry, I haven't used Zoom for a long time. Give me one second here. To mute everyone. Okay. So, one of the things that's in Parshas Emor, which is interesting, because it's always read between Pesach and Shavuot. Sorry, we're going to dedicate today's shir for Chana's mother-in-law, right? Her name is Hadassah Bas Rav Menachem Mendel. He was a prominent rav in Poland, right? So we dedicate the learning today for Le'ilui Nishmasa, for the elevation of her neshama, and the whole family should be benched with only Arichas Yomim and good things. Okay, so we know that one of the mitzvahs that we do now every day is the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer, counting the Omer. The mitzvah of counting the Omer comes in Parshas Emor. That's where it comes. And it's always, which is interesting, because the things that are in the Chumash are not always read at the correct time. So like, you know, we don't read about Rosh Hashanah. We read about Rosh Hashanah this coming week, and it's not Rosh Hashanah this week. But the place in the Torah where we have the mitzvah of Sfira Soimer is in Parshas Emor, and it's in it's always read between Pesach and Shavuos, which is interesting. So we're going to have a look at some of the psukim, and go into it a little bit. So you got your handout. I've done everything on the handout. So I want to just learn with you first of all, the introduction to that portion of the Parsha. So this week's in Parsha's Emor, it's not just the Omer that we read, but it's about all the Chagim. Right? All the Chagim. And it has a very interesting introduction. So let's have a look in handout number one. So it says the following, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lamer. Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu saying, sorry, I copied this from the Bar Ilan program, so every time it's got Hashem's name, instead of being Yud and a Hey and a Vav and a Hey, it's got a Kuf. Just in case people throw it out or whatever the case is. So in case it's a little bit confusing, that's why it's there, so you'll know. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lamer, and Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people, v'amarta aleim, and tell them, Moyadei Hashem, the festivals of Hashem, asher tikru oisam mikroi kodesh, you should proclaim them at their holy times. Eilehem Moyadei, the following are my festivals. What's the next pasuk say? The best pasuk, instead of going to the festivals, it goes into Shabbos. And it says, Sheishes yomim te'osem elocha, 6 days work shall be done. V'ayom ha'shvi, on the seventh day, Shabbos, Shabbosoin, Mikra Kodesh, is considered the holiest day. Shabbos, kol melacha le'sasu, any work shall not be, you should not do. Shabbos yi la'Hashem, it's a Shabbos for God, b'chol mo'ish v'seichem, in all your dwelling places. I wanted to just share with you a nice little word. We're going to go into the Omer, but I just want to share with you a nice thing on this pasuk from the Vilna Gaon, because the famous question is, the Torah says, I'm going to introduce all the festivals, Eilehem Moyadoi, these are my festivals, and what's the next thing it says? The Shabbos. It doesn't go into the festivals. The next pasuk it goes to the festivals, but it starts with Shabbos. And Shabbos is, okay, so one of the reasons is because we know that the Yomim Tovim and the Chagim are also called Shabbos. And that's why it first goes with, they also, obviously the Chagim and Shabbos are connected. Okay. But the Vilna Gaon says something very beautiful. He says like this, that really it's not referring to Shabbos, this pasuk. It's referring to the festivals, but as a general introduction to introduce the festivals, to introduce the Chagim. How so? So he says, we know how many days of Chagim are there during the year, in Israel, that is. Obviously, in Chutz La'aretz there's more, because we add a day. But in Israel, how many days? There's Rosh Hashanah, one day. Nowadays it's 2 days, but originally it's 1 day. Yom Kippur, first day Sukkot, last day Sukkot, right? First day Pesach, last day Pesach, and Shavuos. 7 days, right? But there's a fundamental difference between one of those 7 days and the other six. Yom Kippur and the other six. We know that Yom Tov, although we have to keep Yom Tov, we're not permitted to do any work on Yom Tov and so on, but there are certain levels of melacha, certain categories of work that we're allowed to do on Yom Tov, which we can't do on Shabbos, which is anything to do with what you call oichel nefesh, something that's food-related, and by extension other things. For example, you can cook on Yom Tov if the fire is correctly done. You can select things on Yom Tov. You can even knead on Yom Tov to make challah, really, if you really needed to. You can even shecht on Yom Tov. In the olden days, they used to do that. They used to shecht on Yom Tov and prepare the meat on Yom Tov. Everything done on Yom Tov, right? When on Shabbos, you can't do that. However, when it comes to Yom Kippur, which is one of the Yomim Tovim, you can't do it. It's like, Yom Kippur is not much like Shabbos, right? Says the Vilna Gaon, this is what the Pasuk means, Pasuk Gimel, right? The Torah says, I'm about to tell you all the festivals, but you should know that when I tell you the festivals, there's going to be 7 festivals. However, says the Pasuk Gimel, Sheishes Yomim, 6 days out of the festivals, not talking about 6 days of the week. It says 6 days out of the festivals, Te'asim Melacha. Work, there's certain levels of work that may be done. In other words, there's certain things you can do on Yom Tov. But if a Yom HaShvi on the 7th day, which is Yom Kippur, Shabbos Shabbosah in Mikra, that's mamash like a holy day, Kol Melacha Elisasu, Shabbos Yil Hashem, it's mamash like Shabbos, B'chol Moish V'secha. So that's what, how the Vilna Gaon answers, how this Pasuk comes at the very beginning of the Parsha that's supposed to be talking about the Chagim. Because he's really just talking about the Chagim, it's just a general introduction to tell you that there's going to be 7 Chagim, 6 of which you can do some work, the 7th you can't, which is Yom Kippur. Very nice interpretation on the introductory Pasuk. Okay. Now let's go into number 2. So, let me just give a bit of context here. So in this Parsha in the Chumash, we're not going to go through all the Pesukim, we're just going to do what's on the handout. What the Pasuk says is as follows. It talks first of all about Pesach, and then it says that on the 2nd day Pesach, which the Torah refers to, by the way, as talking about the interchange between Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Torah says on the 15th of Nisan you should keep Pesach, and then Mimocharas HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos, we're going to see this Pasuk in a second, you shall bring the Omer, you shall bring the flower offering called the Omer, right? Which is why we count the Omer from that Korban. People often talk about the Omer period without knowing what it actually means. Right, everyone, sorry? What does it mean?
That's what Omer was Bali.
Omer is Bali, but the word Omer doesn't mean Bali. It was a sacrifice of Bali. Now, in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, there were many sacrifices. Most of them were animals. However, there were many, many forms of flower offering. Right? One of them was done on the 2nd day of Pesach. And how much flour did they use? An Omer. Omer is a measurement. It's the 10th of an Eifah, if that means anything, okay? But, so, that's the amount of flour they used to use, and that's why it's called Omer. So the Korban is referred to as the Omer, and therefore when we count from that Korban, which what the Torah tells us we have to do, it's called Sfiras HaOmer, counting the Omer. The Omer is...
So they measured that Omer every day?
No, they didn't bring the sacrifice every day. They only brought the sacrifice on the 2nd day Pesach. The counting was from the time they brought that Omer, meaning the counting of the Omer starts from the 2nd day of Pesach, which it does, right? The 2nd night of Pesach is when we start counting the Omer, right? No, it was only one time. It was born on the 2nd day of Pesach. But it was done... I'm sorry, I just realized that I forgot to share the screen here on the Zoom. Sorry. Let me do that now. There we are. Okay, so we're going to do number 2 in a minute. Okay, so... Yeah, so we count the Omer from the 2nd day of Pesach, which is the time we brought the Korban Omer, which was called the Korban Omer because it was an Omer of flour. Now, you mentioned Bali. It was Bali, which was an exception. There was only all the flour offerings that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash were all wheat, not Bali. With the exception of 2, one of them is the Omer. the right. That was only one. There was only one, and one other that was brought out of Bali. The other one was the Sota, the woman who has suspicion against her that she committed adultery, and she would come to the Beis Hamikdash. There'd be the whole thing of giving her the water to drink. She also had to bring a flour offering, and that was also Bali. But otherwise, all flour offerings in the Torah, and there's many, were all wheat, not Bali. So
what
you say, what you talk about is something completely different. Also used, the same expression is used, but that came much, much later. So nowadays when people talk about the Omer period, they're talking about the period of mourning. That we mourn the death of the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva, like we don't have weddings or we don't cut hair and all that kind of thing, right? So that happens to be in the Omer period. That's what people talk now. So like when people say, when do you keep the Omer, right? What's your custom? When do you keep the Omer? So it's the terminology used, but it's actually inaccurate. I mean, we use it because that's what we use, but we don't keep the Omer, we count the Omer, and we count it all 49 days. What people mean when they say, when do you keep the Omer, they mean, when do you keep the laws that we were told, because during this period of time, Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students and they all died in an epidemic, during this time, sometime between Pesach and Shavuot, when do you keep that mourning? And there's three customs, or actually four customs, how to do it, right? One custom is the original South African custom, which, I mean, didn't originate in South Africa. I mean to say it was the minna kept by the whole South African community, was to keep it from Rosh Chodesh Iyar, which was last week, to keep it from them to the few days before Shavuot. In Israel, the prevalent custom is to keep, actually not like that, to keep from the beginning of the counting of the Omer till Lag BaOmer. Sfardim keep till the 34th of the Omer, and Chabad, we keep the whole Omer, right? Except for Chol HaMoed Sukkos and Pesach and all that. Okay, whatever, different custom, whatever custom you do is good. Over here, it's not such an established custom, so whatever people do is good. But that's why it's called the Omer, because that must be in the period of the Omer. But that came, I mean, talking about historically, that came much, much later. Rabbi Akiva lived around the year 70, in the year 100, right? So we're talking about 2,000 years, less than 2,000 years ago. Whereas the mitzvah of counting the Omer is over 3,300 years ago from the time of the Matan Torah, right?
It just happened. So the mitzvah of counting the Omer is to get to Shavuot.
I mean, why do we count the Omer?
Yes.
So we'll see. Well, yeah, yes. Yes and yes. Yes and no. We'll see. Okay. So let's have a look at the pasuk. It's number two on the handout. So the pasuk is like this. Usvartem lochem mimocharas ha-Shabbos, you shall count for yourself. From the day after Shabbos. It doesn't mean the day after Shabbos. It means the day after Pesach, the second day Pesach. Why it's called Shabbos is an interesting question. It's not for now. But I will tell you that throughout history, in the time of the Sadducees, right? Under Roman rule, there was the group called the Tzedukim, the Sadducees. They were very problematic. They made a lot of trouble. But one of the things was that they only believed in the written Torah. They didn't believe in the oral Torah, which of course, today we know one of the foundations of being a Jew in the emunah, in the faith that we have. Today you can only be an Orthodox Jew if you believe in the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah, right? The Tzedukim had this thing that you don't count the Omer from the second day Pesach like we do. You always count from the Sunday afterwards. Because the Torah says in Macharat HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos, right? So literally it has to be the day after Shabbos. And this was a huge controversy in the time of the Second Temple. And the Gemara talks about it. There was huge debates that took place between the Sanhedrin, the Chachamim, the Prushim, and the Tzedukim about why that's wrong. Because the oral Torah tells us that it doesn't mean Shabbos, it means Pesach, right? One of the things that the Gemara says, that one of the Tzedukim once said, that he knows it's definitely from Sunday, because if you count from Sunday, then one Shavuot is going to be also on a Sunday. Right, so he says, it's a long Gemara there, a whole discussion. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu oyev Yisrael hoya. Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jewish people, and therefore, obviously, he told us to count from Sunday, because then we'll end up with a long weekend. Because when Shavuos comes, we'll have Shabbos and Sunday. I mean, the Gemara doesn't say the word long weekend, but that's in essence what it means. We'll have 2 days to rest and to celebrate. Like this, for example, nowadays, like this year, for example, Pesach was on Tuesday. Second day is Wednesday, so Shavuos will be on a Wednesday, right? Which means that you have Shabbos, and then a few days work, and then Wednesday, and then a few days work, and then Shabbos. So it's not so organized, right? But that's obviously not the intention of the pasuk. But nevertheless, it was a very big thing. But so, okay. So the Torah says you count for yourself from the day after Shabbos. which happens the day after Pesach, which that's what it means, right? Miyoyim haviachem es oimerat nufa, from the day that you bring the omer, which was woven. They used to wave, one of the things they used to do was they would wave the korban before they offered it up. They would wave it up and down in all directions like we do with the lulav, right? That's what's called omer hatnufa, the waving omer. What should you count? Sheva shabosais tmimois tiyena. You shall count 7 complete weeks. How much should you count? Says the next pasuk, tezayin. Story number 2. Ad mimacharas haShabbos haShviz, until the day after the 7th Shabbos, meaning the 7th week in this case. Tisperu chamishim yoim. You shall count 50 days. Vikraftem mincha chadosha laHashem, and you shall bring, on that 50th day, you shall bring a new mincha, a new flower offering for Hashem. A new one. Which we'll talk about in a minute what that means. So that's what the Tosuk tells us. So we count the Omer from the second day Pesach, from the day that we bring the Korban Omer, called the Omer HaTanufa, the waving Omer, right? We count 7 complete weeks until the day after the 7th week. You shall count 50 days, and on that 50th day you shall bring a new flower offering for Hashem. Of course, there's many things to understand here. First of all, what does 7 complete weeks mean? What's the difference between 7 complete weeks and 7 weeks? They're the same thing. So why does the Torah have to say 7 complete weeks, right? Second of all, how many days do we count in the Omer? 49. It says to count 50 days, right? Yeah. Problematic. Okay, we'll come to it. Bear that in mind. We'll come to it later. And then the Torah says, Mincha chadosha, you shall bring a new mincha. What does a new mincha mean? What's that? What's a new korban? Okay, so bear those questions in mind. And let's first have a look at Rashi, number 3. So you see, Rashi says, Mimacharas HaShabbos, right? This is Rashi on the first pasuk that we learned. The day after Shabbos, Rashi says clearly, Mimacharas Yomtev, from the day after Yomtev. Okay. Temimois Tihiyena. You shall count 7 complete weeks, says Rashi. What does that mean, complete weeks? Melame, that teaches us, Shemaschil Umoine Mibo'erev. That when you count the Omer, you count at night. Shim loy came, because if not, ain non tmimus, the day not perfect. How do we make that we count 7 complete weeks? By counting at night. Because we've counted the whole day, right? And this is particularly important on the... I'll tell you how this flows out halachically. So first of all, it's particularly important on the first night, because that starts the motion of the 7 weeks. So we, you know, you see, because this was interesting, right? We've learned that the Omer... The counting was connected to the mincha, the flower offering that they brought, right? In other words, they're counting from the flower offering, which would really mean, logically, that you should bring the flower offering and then count. Because you're counting from the flower offering, correct? From the omer korban. That's not what happened. Because when did they bring korbanos? When did they bring sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash? There were no sacrifices brought at night, only during the day. Which means, when did they bring the Omer? The day after the first day of Pesach, which means the second day of Pesach in the morning. Correct? But they started counting the night before. Why? Because the Torah says it's going to be 7 complete weeks. So what actually happened was they started counting when they harvested the barley. They would go out Motzei Yontif. That's what the Gemara tells us. They would go out on Motzei Yontif, second night Pesach. And they would go to the field, the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin. They would harvest the barley. Right? Then the next day they would grind it and make flour and bring it as an offering. But they counted already the Omer the night before. Why? Because the Torah says 7 complete weeks. That's why we're very careful to count at night. So much so that if someone forgets to count at night, it's a very big halachi question if it's okay to count during the day. And that's what we do is if we forget to count at night, we count the next day without a bracha because we're not sure if you can actually count during the day. Right? Okay. Before we go to the next Rashi or the next pasuk, I want to just point out something, interesting thing. The link between the Omer counting and the Korban Omer, right? Which is why we call it the Omer, because it was the Omer Korban that you counted from, or the second day Pesach. When you count the Omer, what's the first thing we say as a prayer right after we count the Omer? Right? The first thing we say is, Harachamon hu yachsir lonu, Hashem should return for us, Avoidas Beis HaMikdash, the service of the Beis HaMikdash, b'mheira b'yomeinu, amen selah. That's the first thing we say after we count Omer. Why do we do that? Because the truth is the following. The truth is, it's actually a very big question if biblically the mitzvah of the Omer applies today or not.
Applies
in our times, without a temple, without a Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because it seems from the Pasuk that the whole idea of counting the Omer, before we get to the philosophical ideas of counting up for receiving the Torah, well, that's all philosophical reasons, but if you look at it technically, halachically, from the Pasuk, from the Chumash, what is the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to count the Omer from the bringing of the Omer. Which could suggest that if you don't bring the Omer, there is no counting. Right? Now the Rambam and a few others are the only ones that say, no, it's not like that. It's independent of each other. Yes, it's true, it's connected conceptually with the bringing of the Omer, but it's not dependent on the bringing of the Omer. And therefore the Rambam maintains that nowadays, even though we don't have the Omer, we didn't bring the Omer this past Pesach, there's still a biblical midoraisa mitzvah of counting the Omer, right? However, most Rishonim, most commentaries on the Gemara hold, it's not like that. That actually, counting the Omer today does not apply, it's not a mitzvah from the Torah, but it's a rabbinic mitzvah. Why is it a rabbinic mitzvah? The rabbi said we should still do it, to remember and to yearn for the Beis HaMikdash, right? Together with all the other philosophical ideas behind counting the Omer, but it's really a mitzvah derabbanan, right? Which explains why in the Siddur, you'll see that as soon as we count the Omer, what's the first thing we say? Please bring back the Beis HaMikdash. Because according to most opinions, the mitzvah today is midrabbanan, right? Mitzvah derabbanan, and therefore, we really want to have the real mitzvah, which is the Oraisa, to do it in connection with the Korban Omer, which is why we ask Hashem right away to bring back the Beis HaMikdash, right? Just before we learn the Rashi is the next Pasuk, another very interesting thing about doing this complete week, so that's going to be done at night, is another interesting halacha that's not so relevant in the Southern Hemisphere, but it's very relevant in America, the Northern Hemisphere. And that is, you know, on a Shabbos and a Yontif, we do this here too, during summer, we often bring in Shabbos early, correct? So it means broad daylight, we'll be davening Ma'ariv, Kabbalah Shabbos, making Kiddush even, when it's still light, because there's a halachic mechanism to do that. We can actually bring the holiness of Shabbos into Friday. There's a limit of how much you can do it. You can't do it from Thursday morning or something, but right? But you can do it from, let's say, an hour and a quarter before Shabbos, plug a mincha, you can bring it in early. Right? Now, in the Northern Hemisphere, Shavuos is in the summer. Very late starts, right? Yeah, nevertheless, there's a halacha, if you go to shuls, even the shuls that bring Shabbos in early during the summer, on the first night Shavuos, you're not allowed to do that. You have to daven Ma'ariv on time, when it's dark. Why? Because we've counted 49 days, it's going to be 49 complete days, complete weeks. And therefore, if you bring in Shavuos early in the Northern Hemisphere, that means you've cut off the last part of the last day of the Omer, and you're missing in the complete weeks. Understand? And therefore, they don't do that. Okay, good.
What do you do when the sun doesn't set?
That's not only a shalabat. Omer, a shalabat. Everything we do. It's shalabat. Shabbos, Yontif. There are places in the world. Like, there's a lot of response on there, what one does. There are people that live in these places, but they have to make their own night. It's a whole halachic discussion. It's not. I don't know enough about it. It's not for here. Okay.
Is there a mitzvah for a woman to count the Omer?
No. They're exempt because it's a time-bound mitzvah. Because it's specific to these 49 days. Right? However, they can, and many women do. Because the concept of counting the Omer is a spiritual idea. And they get a mitzvah like everything. I mean, women are exempt from lulav also. They still make a brach on the lulav. Especially if you're Ashkenazi, we believe that women are allowed to make brachas even on mitzvahs that they're exempt in doing. So there is one opinion, a very famous opinion, which is it's spoken about a lot about in yeshivas where they deeply analyze halachas and go into the intricate details of lomdus and so on. There's a Ramban that holds that it's not a time-bound mitzvah and therefore women are actually obligated in the mitzvah. We don't paskin like that Ramban, and it's in a very difficult Ramban.
I prefer that one.
No, you can do the mitzvah anyway. You know, women are not obligated in shofar either, and yes, I would definitely encourage all women to hear shofar, right? No, it's a difficult Ramban to understand because it seems like it is time-bound. I mean, it's only for these 49 days, so it's very difficult to say it's not time-bound. So much so that it was originally thought that the Ramban is a printing mistake. But actually, it's been shown that it's not because the others are quoted Ramban. Anyway, how you answer that Ramban is an interesting discussion. But the halacha is not like that. The halacha is women are exempt, but they, certainly can and should, if they can, count the Omer and be part of that mitzvah. Okay. Good. Have a look at number four. Yep. Ad mi mocharas, just forget the first line, just go to the second line. Where Rashi says, Ad mi mocharas ha-shabbos ha-shvi'is tishbru. Right? You shall count till the day after the seventh week. Says Rashi, v'loy ad b'chlal, not including that day. In other words, v'ein arboim v'tisho yom, you should only count 49 days. Which of course then emphasizes the question, why does the pasuk go on to say, we should count 50 days, okay? We're going to get to that at the end, so just remember that question. We definitely only count 49 days, but why does the pasuk say 50 days? We'll see. Now, chamishim yoim, you should count 50 days, v'yikrafta mincha chadosh l'Hashem, on the 50th day you should bring a new mincha for Hashem, says Rashi, which means, b'yoim ha-chamishim takrivua. You shall bring it on the 50th day, which is Shavuos. Shavuos is the 50th day. Then says Rashi, mincha chadosha. What's a new mincha? What does that mean? What's a new mincha? A new flower offer. What's it talking about? So let me just give you a little bit of context. So first of all, we brought on the second day Pesach, we brought a korban mincha. That's the Omer, was brought out of Bali, right? 7 weeks later on Shavuos, on the 50th day, we bring another mincha, which the Torah refers to as a new mincha, which we'll explain why in a second. But that was wheat, by the way. That was wheat. And that was called the Shtei HaLechem, the two breads. Interesting point about the Shtei HaLechem, that in the Beis HaMikdash, whatever flour was brought in the Beis HaMikdash, for whatever reason, and it was mixed with wine or oil or whatever the case is, however the minchas were brought, most minchas were mixed with oil, there was a prohibition, they were not allowed to be chametz, a whole year round. Wasn't allowed to be chametz, couldn't rise. Try to be very careful, not with water, you can mix it with oil, because oil doesn't allow it to rise, but it couldn't be chametz. There's two exceptions. One exception is the korban toida, the thanksgiving offering that was brought. If someone wants to offer thanks to Hashem, that used to come with a whole bunch of flour and bread rolls and things like that. And some of those bread rolls were actual chametz, had to be chametz. And the other one is the korban brought on Shavuos. This mincha chadasha, this new korban that the Torah is talking about, called the shtei halechem, the two breads that was brought on Shavuos, that had to be chametz. Couldn't be matzah, it had to be chametz. Okay. Now, why is it called the mincha chadasha? So, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's a mitzvah in the Torah, okay? There's a mitzvah in the Torah not to eat chadosh, not to eat new flour. What does that mean? Nowadays, it's a big question if it applies nowadays and if it applies outside of Eretz Yisrael. So, the prevalent custom in the diaspora is not to be worried about it. But the Talmud of Beis HaMikdash was certainly very strong all over the world. And that is as follows. That if any produce grows after Rosh Hashanah, you can't use it till the second day Pesach. Right? It's called Chadosh. There are some people that are still makbir in this nowadays. In other words, if you break bread from Rosh Hashanah till the Omer was brought, right? You have to use flour, that's old flour, that was from before Rosh Hashanah.
Sorry, from when to when?
From Rosh Hashanah till second day Pesach. So if you're baking, now we're already over that time, but if you're baking bread, let's say Purim time, if you're baking Homentashen, you need to use flour that comes from wheat or barley or whatever you're baking with that was harvested before Rosh Hashanah.
Did the farmers not bring their tenth tithe to the Beit HaMikdash for Shavuot?
Yeah. They brought Bikurim, the first fruit for Shavuot. Yeah, but that was already after the Omer. Yes. Right? It's still the Omer. Okay. If you take Rosh Hashanah from Rosh Hashanah, and from Rosh Hashanah till the second day of Pesach, it's got to be from flour that's before Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Now, by the way, there are people that keep it today, especially in America. If you go into some bakeries, when it's a stroll, you'll find on some hechsherim that has the word Yoshan on it. Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed that. Look carefully next time. You saw the word Yoshan? Yeah, a Yoshan bakery. What's Yoshan? Yoshan means that the flour is old. It comes from before Rosh Hashanah. Now, that's only relevant from Rosh Hashanah to the second day Pesach. Anyone who's going to a bakery from Pesach to Rosh Hashanah is not relevant, because there you can use new flour from that year. It's not a problem. It only becomes a problem again after the next Rosh Hashanah. But it's an issue for 6 months, right? Okay.
So there's no use by date.
No. Flour lasts a long time. It's not like it there. But I mean, wheat, the produce uses that long. Okay. That was everywhere. However, in the Beis HaMikdash, they went even further than that. In the Beis Hamikdash, when they brought flour offerings, there they didn't use new flour, not until second day Pesach, but until Shavuos. Which is why the flour offering that was brought on first day Shavuos, the Torah calls it Mincha Chadosha, a new Mincha. Okay? Now we'll see how this all becomes very relevant in a second. So let's have a look at the Rashi. Rashi says at the bottom line, Mincha Chadosha, says Rashi, hi a Mincha Rishoina. That's the first Mincha, first flour offering on Shavuos, Shehuva Min HaChadosh, that was brought from new flour. Right? Now you're going to tell me, says Rashi, hold on a second, you're going to challenge me. You're going to say, V'yom Toimer, what are you talking about? Harakreva Mincha Sa'omer. The Omer was from new flour. How do we know this? Because the Omer was harvested the second night of Pesach. So that was new flour, right? So they brought the Omer from new flour. What do you mean the new flour only started on Shavuos for Karbonis? Says Rashi, Einok Yishar Kala Menachos, it wasn't like all the other flour offerings. Shebo Menasorim comes from Bali. So that was different. Most flour offerings in the Beis Hamikdash were all wheat, as I said before. The only one was Bali. Bali was like brought on the second day Pesach, new flour. But otherwise, all other flour offerings, which were wheat, the first time they bought a new flour was on Shavuos. Okay? Now, turn over the page. That's all Sfiras Omer in a very halachic sense, in a very halachic context. However, we also know, as the Sefer HaChinuch says, I didn't copy it, but right, the Sefer HaChinuch says, one second here. The Sefer HaChinuch says, of course, that why do we count the Omer? So one of the famous ideas is that the counting of the Omer was similar to what the Jewish people did, right? That they counted from, when they went out of Mitzrayim, they knew what was the whole goal of going out of Mitzrayim. The whole goal was to become Hashem's nation. When did we become Hashem's nation in a proper way? Was by Har Sinai, when we got the Torah, right? That's when we came. In fact, there's a din in Shulchan Aruch, that when you daven in the morning, and you say in just before Shema, there's a line we say, "Uvanu v'charta mikol am v'loshem." We turn to Hashem and we say, "You have chosen us from all other nations and languages." You're supposed to have in mind when did Hashem actually choose us as a nation? At Har Sinai, right? But when the Yidden came out of Mitzrayim, they needed preparation. First of all, they looked very forward to the event of Har Sinai. So they counted, like, you know, when you're very excited, like a child's very excited, something, he counts how many sleeps, right? So we counted. So too, we also, receiving the Torah is not just something that happened once at when they went out of Mitzrayim, it happens every single year on Shavuos. Therefore, we do the same thing from going out of Mitzrayim, our own Mitzrayim. On the first night of Pesach, from the second day of Pesach, we count the Omer, right? Now, it's not just counting the Omer. Because by the way, when you count something because you're excited, how do we know it's not just about being excited, so we're counting? It's much more than that. Because when you count something, you're excited, normally you count down, not up. Correct? Like I said, the child who counts how many sleeps, 12 sleeps, 11 sleeps, 10 sleeps, 9 sleeps, right? You count down, 10 more days, 9 more days to go, 10 more, right? Only one more day to go, right? The Omer doesn't work like that, right? We don't start from 49 and count down. We count up, correct? Because it's not just about being excited, it's about counting each day and accomplishing something each day. Because what we know to be true is that the counting of the Omer is a time of tremendous personal growth, right? Because what happened, very, very briefly, when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, He took us out of Mitzrayim on the first day. It wasn't just a physical exodus, it was a spiritual exodus as well. He took out our neshama from Golus. But because we know that a person has two parts, right? I'm just going to give you one of the ways to explain this. Is that we have a neshama and a body, right? A neshama and a guf. Or like it says elsewhere, we have a godly soul and an animal soul, right? That's how personality works, as it explains in Tanya. Now, often what happens is, when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, like the Maharal of Prague explains, he really was releasing the neshama from Mitzrayim. And neshama had expression. Maharal says there was a certain freedom of expression given to the neshama that when Yidden came out of Mitzrayim, that was never taken away from us. Even when it went into Golus again, and so on, we always, our neshama remains intrinsically free, which means we always have the choice to express our soul and to serve Hashem. Okay. However, what happened was the Yidden were not ready to receive the Torah. Why not? because their consciousness, their actual personality had not changed one bit. Right? The neshama was powerful, but they weren't. They hadn't changed at all, really. So Hashem gave us a 7-week period to refine our personality, to find our animal soul, to refine our midos, our character traits. Now we know in Kabbalah, for example, we learn about the 10 powers of the soul. 3 are intellectual, 7 are emotional, right? So that's why we have the Omer, because the animal soul is driven by impulse, driven by midos, driven by the emotional drive. And that's why we have 7 weeks of the Omer. Each week refers to another one of the 7 emotions, one of the 7 midos, right? You know, if you look in the city, you'll see the first week is Chesed, the second week is Gevura, and so on and so forth. Which, by the way, explains also why the Omer was Bali. Why? There's only 2 flower offerings that are Bali. Why is the Omer? So the Gemara says it's a bit different nowadays, because nowadays with health awareness and all the health freaks and all that, you know, we eat a lot of grains and stuff, and that's what we're used to nowadays. So this concept is foreign. But the Gemara says that wheat is the food of humans. Barley is the food of animals. Right? It's different. Today we eat barley, we eat grains, we eat everything that animals eat, right? And once I had a great uncle, his name was Zalman Garari. He was a very eccentric guy, he was a very interesting guy. And he had very strict rules about what happens in his house. He was a very big Yirah Shemayim, big Kamal Chochem. But he had his fair share of maybe you could say Meshagasin, right? So as they say. So he, in his house, Shabbos, I used to go to him a lot Shabbos when I was a bocher learning. So in his house on Shabbos, was very traditional food, but he didn't allow all the salads. You know, nowadays everyone makes 7 salads with our Shabbos meal. It's like the main part of the Shabbos meal, all the different salads, right? I always tell Dina that you shouldn't get a new recipe. I always tell people shouldn't give Dina a new recipe of salads, because it'll just be in another salad when the next Shabbos comes. More work, right? I'm not going to take away the original salads, just add more. So anyway, he wouldn't allow any salad. There was no salads in his house on Shabbos. Only like the gefilte fish was gefilte fish, and that's it. And then it was soup, and then it was flesh, and chicken, and kugel, and fruit at the end. It was very... And not because he couldn't afford it, he was actually quite a wealthy guy. But no salad. Someone asked him, why not? He said, Shabbos espenish groz. He says, behemoth essen groz. He says, animals eat grass. He says, we don't eat grass.
$1 less, you wouldn't appreciate it when you got to the top. So that's why if you had $1 million at the top of the lid and you had $1, then $10.
Correct. Okay, that's why we count up, right. But in terms of the system relation, what I'm saying is that every day we refine ourselves a little bit more, so we become better. That's why we count up, we become different, right? But that's why the Omer was Bali, because it's animal food to tell us that the neshama part of it was taken care of on the first day of Pesach when we left Egypt. But now we're going to work on the animal side of our personality and prove it and refine it as we get to Matan Torah. Okay. This is very in line with something the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says. Or HaChaim HaKadosh was Reb Chaim Ben Attar, one of the great commentaries on Chumash. Classic commentary on Chumash. By the way, it's an interesting historic. The Or HaChaim, where did it come from? It's a very, very beautiful pirush. But it's a mixture of halachic analysis, Kabbalistic stuff, Drush. It's a very big mishmash, but beautiful stuff. He wrote the Pirush because he never had sons. So he only had daughters. And every Shabbos, he went through the parasha with his daughters and explained to him all these explanations, and he wrote it down. And that was the Pirush of Or HaChaim. Okay. They were obviously very knowledgeable daughters, because if you see the Pirush, it's quite... Okay. So he says like this. Let's do a little bit inside. Usvartem lochem, he says... Omrei lochem. It says the word lochem. Interesting thing. Usfartem lochem. You have to count for yourselves. Right? What does that mean, lochem? Halachically, that word lochem is very important. Because we learn that, first of all, it's not a communal mitzvah. There's other mitzvahs of counting in the Torah. For example, you have to count 49 years to get to the year called the Yovel. Right? Who has to count those 49 years? We don't have Yovel today, but in Thomas the Beis Hamikdash. Who had to count? Not everyone. The base team, the Sanhedrin, had to count. Right? Etc. Or Shmita. But here, Usfarat Lachem is the individual mitzvah, so much so that you know how kiddush, one person can make kiddush and be moitzi everyone. Everyone can just listen and do the mitzvah. The halacha is with sfiras loyim, it doesn't work out. Each person has to count individually. You can't listen to someone else count. That's not going to work. You have to count yourself. Why? Because it's very individual mitzvah. Why? So he says, letzad sheyitzave Hashem lispor shavah shabbos, Hashem commanded to count 7 weeks. The Omru, Zechariah Levach, and our rabbis tell us, and there's a quote from the Zohar. He says like this, Ki letzad shehoyu betumas Mitzrayim, because the Yidden came out of the impurity of Mitzrayim, berotzo Hashem lihisdaveg l'umazu. And he wanted to have a relationship with his nation, right? It was a very interesting comment. In other words, Hashem wasn't just going to give us the Torah. The Torah was a marriage between Hashem and the Jewish people. We were the wife and Hashem was the husband, right? That's it says in the Pasuk, Yom Chasanosa, the day of Hashem's wedding is Matan Torah. Because Matan Torah is not just about a big boss giving us a bunch of commandments we have to do. It's about a connection, about a relationship. And Hashem wanted, when He took us out of Mitzrayim, the goal was to be a shidduch between us and Hashem, right? Therefore, what did He do? Don bok mishpat nida. So he dealt with the Jewish people. He gave us the halachas like a woman who's in nida. She didn't know what's her halacha before she can purify herself and go to the mikveh and become pure and have intimate relationship. Lispar zayin nekim, you got to count the 7 clean days, right? So therefore, Hashem commanded she yisparu zayin shavu is to count 7 weeks, like the 7 days. Va'oz yiyu muchsharim, and then they'll be ready lehachnisasam kala lechupa, to bring the kala to the chupa. Very beautiful language, right? Okay. Okay, let's leave that one. Let's go to the next one. Then there's the Kli Yoker. Kli Yoker is another very classic pirush on Kli Yoker was a Talmud of the Maharal, right? So he comments on the Mincha Chadosha, on this new Mincha that you have to bring after you count the 7 weeks, the new Mincha you have to bring, right? He says the following. He says, what's the Mincha Chadosha? Simen L'Yoy Matan Torah. It's the day of Matan Torah. Because when do we bring this Mincha Chadasha? Meaning, after we've counted the Omer, and we made ourselves ready, like the Aruch Chaim says, we purified ourselves, right? To come into the Kala, to the Chuppah, to become Hashem's nation, and to get the Torah, we shall bring, says the Torah, on that day, on the 50th day, you've got to bring Mincha Chadasha. A new Mincha, right? He says, why? He says, because it's the day of Matan Torah. Ki Torah, why did they have to wait in the Beis HaMikdash? That the first time they brought a new mincha, a new flower offering was Shavuos, because it's the day of Matan Torah. Ki Torah tzricha liyos chadosha, because the Torah always has to be new. Eitzel ha'odom b'chol yoyim. Every day the Torah has to be fresh. Ki ilu hayoyim kibla mahar Sinai. As if today we got it from Har Sinai. The way we learn Torah, Rashi brings it in Chumash also on Shema. It says in Shema, "V'hoyu ha'devarim ha'ela." We say it every day. These words, "Asher anoichi mitzavcho," that I'm commanding you. What's the next word? Hayoim, today. Hashem is commanding us today. The Torah was in Shavuos, right? Matan Torah. Says Rashi in Chumash, and this was Moshe Rabbeinu telling the Yidden before they went into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say the Shema to the Jewish people on Matan Torah. He said it on, I don't know, before he passed away in Adar time, right? Shvat, Adar. And it says, V'holyu'advarim, these things that I'm commanding you today should be on your heart. Asher'nechim utzav chayom, says Rashi, because every day we have to look at the Torah as if it's commanded today, something new, not something stale, not something that we go, it's an old maisa, right? It's has to be something fresh. Now he says, interesting thing. U'mashaloy nizkar b'Torah b'feirush k'yom zeh matan Torah. He says, you know something, that if you look at all the places where the Torah talks about Shavuos, I don't know if you know this, a very fascinating thing. Not once does it say in the Torah that Shavuos is the anniversary of Matan Torah. You know that? Not once. It says, Bikurim, you should bring Bikurim. You should count the 7 weeks of the Omer, then you should have a fiyantif on the 50th day. Bring a new Mincha. It doesn't say which day. It doesn't say that's the day of Matan Torah. Another thing he says, also doesn't say in the Torah explicitly, ki Rosh Hashanah Yom Adin. The Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment. We all know that, right? That's the thing we talk about most when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. It's the day that Hashem decides what's going to happen for the rest of the year. He judges us in that day. It's called Yom Adin. That's why we have all the tefillahs and all the prayers, and then we daven and we ask and we do tshuva and the whole thing, right? Seems like a pretty front and center concept of Rosh Hashanah, as does Matan Torah on Shavuos. And yet, both these things, the Torah doesn't say that Shavuos is the day of Matan Torah, and doesn't say that Rosh Hashanah is the day of Yom Adin, right? The Tam Shneim, he says, and the reason of both of them is Echadu, is the same reason. Like I wrote in my other sefer called Oilei Sefrayim, Shal Matan Torah Leirotza Hashem Lahagbil Yoim. When it came to giving us a Torah, Hashem did not want to designate one day, Yoim Yodua. Why? Because Tzarich Adam Shiadoim Loi B'chol Yoim V'Yoim Mikol Yomayis Hashanah Ki Lebois Hayoim Kibla Har Sinai. Yes, it's true that Matan Torah will happen on Shavuos, but a Yid has to see himself every single day. Every single day needs to be like, today we got the Torah. The day Hashem chose us. A fresh, a new thing every single day. Because Torah should not be designated to one day, to one date. By the way, that's also why it doesn't even say the date in the Torah. In fact, other Mefarshim take us even a step further. Not only does it say that Shavuos is the day of Matan Torah, it doesn't give a date, and in fact the Gemara says we're not even sure what date it was. Because actually, there's no date for Shavuos. You realize another thing. There's no date in the Torah for Shavuos. Pesach, we know, is going to be 15th of Nisan. Rosh Hashanah, the 1st of Tishrei. Sukkot, the 15th of Tishrei. There's no date for Shavuos. What is it? It's the 50th day of the Omer. In fact, the Gemara says, in ancient times, when they would do, when it wasn't, nowadays it's set. We know that Nisan has 30 days, Iyar has 29 days. So it's always, Shavuos is always the 6th of Sivan, right? But actually, it wasn't always like that. Sometimes it could have been, it says in the olden times when they used to do month by month basis because they used to wait for the witnesses to say the moon and everything. Shavuos could be the 5th of Sivan, the 6th of Sivan, the 7th of Sivan, depending. If Nisan and Iyar both had 30 days, then it was in the 5th of Sivan. If it was both had 29 days, it was in the 7th of Sivan, and so on, right? So it's just got to count 49 days, and the 50th day is Shavuos. Not only that, the Gemara says we're not even sure at the time of Har Sinai. We paskin a certain way, but there is a machlokes between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi in the Gemara what date the Torah was given. Some say 6th of Sivan, some say 7th of Sivan. It's like the strangest thing. The most central event of Jewish history is the giving of the Torah. You know that? Our whole faith comes from Matan Torah. In fact, the Rambam gave us 13 principles of faith. The 8th one is about Torah from Sinai, and that in fact is the foundation of all the others. It was a moment of clarity when Hashem revealed Himself to us. Everything that we believe in, the existence of Hashem, everything, actually is rooted in the fact that we saw it and witnessed it, and it was revealed to us at Matan Torah. And we don't know what had happened. That's a pshat. The same thing like the Kli Yoker says. Hashem didn't want this to be a one-time event. It's not an anniversary. It's every day, every moment. Yes, it's once a year. We emphasize that once a year it happens stronger, whatever the case is, but really something happens every single day. And that's why there's nothing. And he says later, the same thing with Rosh Hashanah, right? A person, the Gemara says, really a person is judged every day, right? Tefillah, when we daven, we can change things every single day. It's a whole discussion of how it works between Rosh Hashanah and every day, but the fact is that Yom HaDin is not just a one-time event. Yes, of course, it happens much more on Rosh Hashanah, much more on Yom Kippur and so on, but really something happens every day. We should always see ourselves before Hashem as that we're supposed to do the right thing and Hashem is judging us and so on, that something happens every single day. Now he says, I'm going to just say it outside for a second, I want to just go to one more thing. He says, why this had to be, this korban that was brought on Shavuos had to be chametz. I said before it had to be chametz, right? Why? Because the chametz, in the Gemara, the chametz is called, the Yetzirah is called chametz. It's called Se'or Shebe'isa. And the Gemara says, what's the antidote to the Yetzirah? Torah, to learn Torah. It says, Hashem says, I created the Yetzirah, and I created the Torah spice to be an antidote to the Yetzirah. And that's why that had to be, because it's the day of Matan Torah, and Torah has to be new, fresh every day, that's why it's got a new carbon, and it also has to be chametz, because it's an antidote to the Yetzirah. Okay. What's the last question we didn't deal with, and I'll just try and do it briefly. That is, why does it say in the Torah to count 50 days? Okay? So, The Bavitcher Rebbe explains in a sicha the following point. I'll say it briefly because I want to finish up. I should finish a couple minutes early. It says like this, that there's 49 levels that a person could reach. Right? Shavuos, it says in Kabbalah, there's something called the 50 gates of understanding. Nun Share Bino. There's 50 levels of Kedusha. Right? However, a person on his own can never reach the 50th. A person can only reach the 49th. Right? Which is symbolized in the fact that we count each day of the Omer. Counting each day means to reach another step, another step, another step, right? If we do it properly and we apply the self-refining and so on. However, Hashem says that if you count the 49 days in preparation for Matan Torah, then on Shavuos, the revelation of Shavuos is so great that Hashem will give us the 50th as a gift. Something we can't achieve ourselves, but Hashem can give it to us, right? The way it works like this. Hashem will only give us that gift of the 50th, the number 50, only if we count the first 49. So in other words, it's a general rule. We have to do what we can do, and then Hashem will respond disproportionately. He'll give us more than we can achieve. But first we have to do what we can do, right? So that's the idea. The idea is that we count the first 49, and then the 50th, Hashem gives to us. That's why we find this contradiction in the Torah. On the one hand, it says you should count 50 days. Because there is 50 levels. In other words, there's a concept of getting to the 50th level. So there is that concept that if you want to get, you need to do Sfiras Omer if you want to reach the 50th level. That's what it's saying. Tisperu Chamishim Yom, you should count the 50 days. But we don't actually count the 50th day because counting represents something that we can do. We can get to the 50th, but only if we get to the 49th. We have to get to the 49th. And then Hashem will give us the 50th. So that's why it does talk about 50 days, because it's the 50th level that we're going to get the 50th level, but we don't count the 50th day, because that's something that doesn't come through our counting. It comes from Hashem giving it to us, but only after Hashem, we have done what we can by counting the 49 days.
Is that the significance of 50?
Yeah. 50 is always like a transcendent number, but it comes after the 49. When we do what we can do with the 49, then there's the 50th day. That's why we don't count it, because counting means that we're accomplishing it. We're not accomplishing it. Hashem is giving it to us, but it's giving it to us through our accomplishments, doing the 49, which is why it says you should count the 50 days. It doesn't mean you should actually count the 50th day. It means you should count the 49 to get to the 50th day. That's what it means. Okay.
If anyone wants to go overseas...
Because the deadline.
Because we want to lose Alaska.
Oh, wow.
Rabbi,